everyone. Welcome to First Things First. It is Monday. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. That is Nick Wright. Sorry about that, buddy.
No problem.
We have an absolutely jam-packed show for you today. Tiger Woods wins for the first time in over 5 years. Pat Mahomes continues to have one of the best starts to a season ever. And Clay Matthews is not happy. But we start with the team that many people had as their absolute lock to win yesterday. Let's get right to it. The Patriots in Detroit to face former defensive coordinator Matt Patricia and the lowly Lions. Except that those lowly Lions were fierce last night. Tom Brady got nothing going offensively, threw for just 133 yards with a touchdown and an interception as the Patriots fell to the Lions. So the Pats start the year 1-2 for the first time since 2012. For the context, guys, the Browns currently have a better record than the Patriots do. Here is Tom Brady after the game.
I mean, we're not scoring enough points. We're not executing well enough on a down-by-down basis, certainly at a high level that, you know, we should have our expectations set at. So, you know, the process has been the same. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about it in practice, and we're going through it and watching the film and correcting stuff. It's just not getting done on the field. And, you know, we got to get it corrected soon.
We just didn't do anything wrong to give ourselves a chance to win. Similar situation last week. Get behind early, play from behind, just no way to make it up. So just gonna have to work our way out of it. Obviously we've got a lot of work to do, so there's no shortcut, no easy way. Just gotta be better going.
It's about hard work, it's about commitment, it's about being disciplined, it's about doing the right thing. And you know, obviously we're not doing a great job of that. So, you know, we all gotta get back to work, you know, look at ourselves and figure out what we need to do to help the team win.
You know what else it's about, CC? Maybe having someone to throw the ball to. Maybe the Patriots are finally realizing that. What happened to the Pats in their 26-10 loss to the Detroit Lions last night?
I think a lot of people will point to the obvious and think that, wow, they don't have a whole bunch of guys to throw to. But this is the first time that I've seen New England be just out physical at the line of scrimmage. This was a dominant performance by Detroit. That should be the talking point. The reason why you're not able to convert third downs was because the offense and defensive line of the Lions, and you got to give Matt Patricia credit. And what he did in this game was, compared to other coaches who are part of organizations, what he did was he didn't try to predict what plays they were going to run. What he did in the scouting report was he let the Lions know who the players were on New England, how they weren't invincible. He also let them know what their strengths were, but more importantly, he knew every weakness of the New England players. That's the reason why they attacked them that way. It's one of the rare opportunities where we have seen a Belichick assistant approach the game that way. They always approach the game from an X's and O's standpoint, but I love the way Matt Patricia and the way he described the New England Patriots. So once you get to the game, the players didn't feel like this team, this organization is invincible. So you could see that Detroit, for the first time in a number of years, they get a 100-yard rusher. How do you do that? You do that through a mindset and through the physicality of the offensive line. So I know with New England, that's not the sexiest conversations. But in football, what I saw in last night's game was one team that was more physical. And it was the theme going around the NFL this weekend was, which team is more desperate? And that's what I saw. A team well coached by Patricia, but also a team that was more desperate. And that was a theme that I saw in Minnesota with Buffalo. I saw it in last night's game in Detroit.
So we can, on the defensive side of the ball for Detroit, I think what you're saying there is 100% correct. You saw Patricia obviously knew where the Patriots, I should say the defense side of the ball for New England. I apologize, I misspoke. He knows that Pat's linebacking core doesn't have the most speed. So what do? Spread the ball around. How many guys? 9 different Lions caught passes in this game. A lot of passes out of the backfield. You also knew the Pats were without arguably their best D lineman and Flowers, one of their best secondary guys in Chung. So they took advantage of where the Pats were weak up front. They took advantage of the Pats not having enough speed. It led to, as C mentioned, the Lions having their first individual run for 100 yards since 2013, the longest streak in the NFL by a wide margin, been 5-plus years. But on the other side of the ball, I think what you alluded to, Jenna, it is what I saw. I saw, to use a line C uses all the time, it's not always the X's and O's. Sometimes it's the Willies and the Joes. And the Pats lack of offensive playmakers caught up to them yesterday. Belichick preached all week, and every sound we played of his and in press conferences, his radio interview, we have to get off to a good start. We have to get off quickly after falling down, I think it was 24-3 to Jacksonville. This game, they start out 13-0 to Detroit. They could not get their offense moving. And yeah, Brady wasn't sharp and their offensive line wasn't great. But a lot of that was, who was Tom Brady in this game?
And we should mention Josh Gordon was inactive, which is what Chris thought he would be. And they looked like they could have used at least someone, maybe him.
They only activated three receivers. They just, to me, they had no explosion. There was no fear instilled in the Lions defense. They doubled Gronk throughout the game. Late in the game, they showed a play. It reminded me of what you were saying happened to Randy Moss occasionally, which is they treated Gronk like a punt coverage guy. They had two guys at the line of scrimmage instantly doubling him like he were a gunner. He was a gunner. It's the second straight game the opponent's been able to neutralize Gronk. And after that, the Pats, you're looking around, James White better have a big game because he's the only guy on that offense that has any type of reputation or rapport with Brady as far as being able to make big plays.
And they kept running Sonny Michel, and he seemed ineffective, but they kept going back to him over and over again. What could the Patriots do to correct this? Is this the kind of thing where all problems are going to be fixed once Edelman gets back, once they get Josh Gordon up to speed and they have a little bit more, at least on offense or options for Tom Brady?
The offense, it's going to get better. Offensively, they always get better as the season goes on. But Edelman's not going to play defense. The one thing that Matt Patricia knew, that Nick pointed out as far as the linebacking core, Edelman's a good slot receiver, but he's not going to be able to cover the other running backs. So that's always going to be a weakness. Matt Patricia knows that. He coaches that defense. He knows the concepts. So they know that the linebackers have a hard time guarding. So, no. And I just wouldn't put too much stock in what Josh Gordon's going to do. For one, he hadn't done anything since 2013, so let's just stop thinking that he's just going to go to New England and cure all their problems. I know if New England, if the system is as hard as it is, and if my friends have told me what they have and my coaches that have been there have told me it's as complicated as it is, we shouldn't expect to see Josh Gordon for a couple weeks. So that's him being inactive was not surprising to me. Because what Tom Brady's trying to do is far more sophisticated than anything Josh has been around.
And I understand New England because of what they've earned over the better part of the last 20 years. People are not going to sound the panic button today. They're going to say a bad start to the season. They started the year off 1-2, like you mentioned a few years ago. We saw them get dominated by the Kansas City Chiefs to open the year. I think 5 years ago, they lost week one to the Kansas City Chiefs last year. But the way they've lost these two games, double-digit losses in back-to-back weeks for the first time since 02. What's notable about 02? It's the only year that Brady's been healthy that they've missed the playoffs. They haven't had three consecutive losses by any margin since 02. Like, people are going to understandably give the Pats the benefit of the doubt, I think, this week. Next week, all of a sudden, becomes an enormous football game where they're playing the only undefeated team in their division. And the way they've lost, see, at the beginning of last year, the discussion was about its early season struggles, but it was almost entirely defensive struggles. The offense was top of the league from basically start of the year to the end of the year. The Pats in back-to-back weeks struggling this much on offense is not something I'm familiar with. It's not something that I'm used to seeing where Jacksonville, they're a great defense. They eliminate their offensive threats. And then the Lions, who I do not think are a great defense, they also eliminate any offensive threat.
And isn't that because this is a team, I mean, I learned this from both of you. There's no team out there that self-corrects better week to week than the Patriots. You couldn't hear much of what Bill Belichick was saying because he was so perturbed. He was probably muddling his way into the inability to hear. But it seems like this is a team that would, after what they did last week in week two, would be able to come back and at least correct themselves. Or did Matt Patricia just know exactly what they were going to bring out?
No one knows exactly what you're going to do. Matt Patricia, I said he didn't go over the X's and O's. He knew the personnel, their strengths and weaknesses. They're not going to be a strong offensive team until they get Edelman back. When Edelman gets back, you add another receiver. It becomes far more complicated. Sonny Michel will run the ball as this offensive line. We talk about as the season gets on, they will get better because they have a couple changes that they've made there. So I'm not going to panic, But through this first four games, the Patriots do not have a lot of talent at wide receiver. And I think it's going to get worse. Philip Dorsett hurt in last night's game late against the Lions. We have to wait to see what the report is on him. But when you leave training camp with Hogan, Patterson, and Dorsett as your wide receivers, you got problems. I don't care who your quarterback is, and they have the greatest one ever. You have problems. It's just a matter of time before people are able to take advantage of it, and that's what we've seen the last 2 weeks.
And the Edelman thing, it just should be reminded, he's not out due to injury. He's out due to suspension. This is a suspension that is greatly hurting his team. We thought, okay, you look at their schedule, look at what they've got. All right, they'll probably come out of this 3-1. They came out of Brady's suspension 3-1. They're now 1-2, and all of a sudden, shockingly, have a huge game against Miami in week four.
Exactly. All right, we got to take a break. Much more on this game still ahead. But coming up on the other side, Matt Ryan and Drew Brees have a quarterback battle for the ages. Chris called the games next, though. First things first. We'll get to the Falcons Saints showdown. But first, the Buffalo Bills stunned the Vikings yesterday. Josh Allen racked up the highlights, and nothing more highlight-worthy than the hurdle over Anthony Barr.
Man, Anthony Barr tries to do a perfect form tackle. Got to read the scout report on Josh Allen. Sneaky, excellent athlete. Look at that. Look at that by Josh Allen, see? Part of the biggest upset of the day by far.
Yeah, Josh, please don't do anything like that again. All right? You're going to have a bad landing.
Bills beating up on the Vikings there. Pat Mahomes is out here looking like a video game, spinning away from the defense twice. That's the B button, Nick.
Be still, my heart. Look at – how do you make this pass like that on the run on a line, see?
Anytime Pat Mahomes wants to throw the ball really, really hard, his natural throwing motion is sidearm.
Sidearm.
So watch. He recruits a little bit, drops down, gets that angle that he likes. A lot like Brett Favre.
Man.
That's the way Brett used to throw it. Watch him zing this past Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman was in the flat. He had to put some heat on that one. Great throw.
Just a quick little 253 touchdowns in the first half.
But, you know, it helps that Mahomes has a bevy of weapons. Watch Travis Kelce make a ridiculous one-handed grab.
How about that from the tight end?
Tight end out as a wide receiver. Second best tight end behind Gronk in the NFL. Makes a tremendous grab. Pat Mahomes, not the best throw.
No.
But let me have that. Let me go up and apprehend that ball, Kelce tells him.
Man, you can't have a linebacker. It's tough to guard Kelce outside with a linebacker.
Oh, that's good coverage right there.
All right, Drew Brees pulling off the sick spin move to get away from two defenders and then dives in the end zone.
I thought it was Taysom Hill out there. Pulling off these plays. Look
Drew Brees told me, I have a staff, Chris. I take care of my body. I was like, man, we always talk about Tom Brady. He said, you know something? I'm not looking for that attention.
Oh.
But I believe I'm in just as good a shape as any other quarterback in the NFL. The big thing about this point right here, Ben Watson had run out of bounds. When he was getting ready to throw him the football,
he knew he was ineligible.
He saw the referee throw his hat, which he couldn't go to him. He knew he had to run.
Wow.
That was an amazing part about that play.
Wow. All right, sticking with that game, Saints in Atlanta, the one our Chris Carter called. Thank you, NFL Sunday Ticket. Offensive explosion between the Falcons and the Saints, both quarterbacks throwing for over 350 yards in the air with a combined 10 total touchdowns. The Saints pulled it out in the end with a Breeze QB sneak in overtime. One of his two rushing touchdowns in the game on a day when Rodgers and Brady both lost. Brees got the Saints a big win.
So coming out today, we felt like we needed to be, you know, ultra efficient against this team, knowing how explosive they are on the other side of the ball, knowing that, hey, they have the ability to score points.
You know, your mentality offensively or as a quarterback has to be whatever, you know, whatever we have to do. If it's going to be like today, we've got to go out there and we've got to, you know, make the plays and score the points when we need to. And we had chances offensively, you know, to finish the ball game today, and we didn't do that. So that part's disappointing.
All right, CeCe, you're now 2 for 2 for long games that you call. So we just know that games will be long. CeCe, what was the key to the Saints outlasting Atlanta in this one yesterday?
Well, the ultimate key was something that people missed in the game, It was late in the fourth quarter. Atlanta trying to drive to kick the game-winning field goal or score the touchdown to be able to win the game. And they have a blitz pickup on third down. Coleman, the inability, he was to the right of the quarterback. Matty Ice was in shotgun. A.J. Klein blitzes through the A-gap to the right of the center. He's got to pick him up. You can see right here the confusion in not being able to get there. And no, it wasn't a sack. But pressure, they hurt quarterbacks, so he can't step into it. Mohamed Sanu is going to pick up an easy first down right across the middle on an option route. He's not going to miss him. They continue that drive, potentially kick the field goal. We don't even see what Drew Brees does in overtime. So, to me, that was one of the keys which allowed Drew Brees to get back on the field. Were they efficient? Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Drew Brees? It's almost like they were out there practicing. I haven't seen a quarterback in all my years of football coming into the game completing over 80% last year, 72% completion rate to break the NFL record. It's amazing what Drew Brees is doing. It's mind-boggling how accurate he can be. So for me, Atlanta misses the opportunity. That's the same thing that Freeman missed in the Super Bowl that caused the fumble against the Patriots, which ultimately led to them losing that game. It hurts them again in this game. So I can't leave the game without thinking about that opportunity. You cannot let one of the game's best quarterbacks back onto the field. And the inability to convert that last third down, because the Falcons played a great game. Matt Ryan played an amazing game. But in the end, outdueled by Drew Brees because of lack of a blitz pickup.
All right, your point on Thomas and Kamara, they were targeted 30 times. They caught 25 of those balls for a combined 253 yards. Each had right around 125. It was Michael Thomas, who you said before the game and during the game has to be included as in the discussion for best receiver in the NFL, targeted 10 times, 10 catches. Kamara targeted 20 times as a running back out of the backfield. And after a slower start to the year, he was a monster yesterday. But your point about Matt Ryan is well taken. Matt Ryan had the best passer rating any quarterback has ever had in NFL history in a game they did not win, which speaks to me to what is maybe the bigger point from this football game, and I want your opinion of it because you were there. I very impressive win from New Orleans, but is this how they're going to have to win football games again? Is 2017 going to be the outlier year where, despite the great play on defense that you drew up or you showed to end the game, that defense could not even slow down the Falcons offense throughout this game? Are we back to 14, 15, 16 Saints where, hey, they can win. All it's going to take is Drew Brees playing a great game and them getting to 35 points, because through 3 weeks, this looks nothing like the defense of last season.
And speaking with Dennis Allen, spent a lot of time with him before the game, their defensive coordinator, they got to get better cornerback play. And you could see early in the game, Calvin Ridley, heavy concentration on Julio Jones, cover two, double teaming him. But Calvin really hurt him. We saw in week number one against Tampa Bay, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson. Man, they tore their secondary apart. So they have to get better at their cornerback position. But they might have to win in shootouts. They're playing that well offensively. They got one more game, and they get Mark Ingram back. Offensive line, one of the better in the leagues. Yeah, that's a way that they're going to have to try to figure out winning, because that secondary, a lot of success last year, but a very, very young secondary. And that's what Dennis Allen, he expressed to me, is sometimes younger players, when they have success early, it's really hard to bring them back down to earth because they think the league is a lot easier than what it is. And you see a lot of players have sophomore, third-year slumps in the NFL after having early success.
All right, so we know that the Saints are going to have to be great on offense every week. We've seen over the course of three games what they are in defense. What did you learn about the Falcons after watching this game?
Well, I thought, listen, the Falcons right now, given what they've suffered injury-wise, they're going to be in rough shape to stop anybody. Deion Jones gone, Keanu Neal gone. In this game, looks like they lost Ricardo Allen to a major injury, right, at the tail end of the game, a potential Achilles injury. So they have done a good job overcoming their losses offensively due to injury. Devontae Freeman didn't play. Andy Levitre was lost last week as well. But defensively, they're going to be hard-pressed. I thought you made a really interesting point about something Atlanta's going to deal with throughout the year, which sounds like rich people problems. But You'd never been to a Falcons home game since the new stadium opened, right?
Yes. And
so that stadium is, I've never been there, but is gorgeous from everything I understand. And it almost works against their home field advantage, is a point you made, which is something, if the defense is already going to be down personnel, you can upgrade some of that by crowd noise, and usually dome stadiums are louder. What were you talking about when you said during the broadcast that the stadium almost can work against their home field advantage?
Well, the atmosphere is so nice. I mean, it's an unbelievable stadium there, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's going to be a great Super Bowl, Super Bowl 53, hosting it this year. But they have some picnic areas and some standing viewing areas that a lot of people that have the best seats, they spend a lot of time, especially in the first half, in those seats. So it's hard to generate the uniform crowd noise that you need to have home field advantage. When you're going against teams like Drew Brees, and last week they faced Cam Newton, and they got a number of other tough games in this thing, it's just something that you should watch. It's awful comfortable, and sometimes fans, when they're comfortable, because Atlanta, they like their Falcons, but it's a college football town. And it seems like they're a little late arriving, almost like L.A. After the Saturday college football, they're a little worn out. So it's something that I want to watch, because home field advantage, it's a real thing in the league. And as we saw last year, Philadelphia, I believe that's the only reason why they were able to get to the Super Bowl was because of that home field advantage.
And it's the reason I found it so interesting was we know the NFL had been concerned about people wanting to stay home rather than go to games. People want to be able to watch all the games. People want to be comfortable. Atlanta's the newest stadium that tried to address that directly, right? We want to make the stadium experience as comfortable as your home experience. And it seems like they have. And I just wonder if that's going to be a precursor of, on the newer the stadium, the less of a home field advantage for certain teams in certain cities, because guys want to be able to follow their bets, or guys and gals, I should say, their bets, their fantasy teams, the Sunday ticket. And if you can do that while at the game, it seemed like that's what was going on yesterday. But
crappy and uncomfortable, the way to be.
You find a way to get that betting in there. Guys and gals want to fantasy.
Well, I didn't want to be.
Everybody.
Speaking of fantasy.
I know, right? All right, time now for Nick's aforementioned fantasy update, sponsored by DraftKings. Nick, you're picking week 4 quarterbacks today. Give us one stud and one value pick.
All right, you're going to have to pay a lot for this player, but how about Phillip Rivers next week against San Francisco? He has been excellent this year. I understand the Chargers haven't been as good as people would have hoped, but his numbers this year have been off the charts. That continued this week in the loss to the Rams. So Phillip Rivers, $6,500 on DraftKings against the San Francisco defense that struggles, and they're going to be without their quarterback on offense, so you got to imagine they might have some extra possessions for the Chargers. I like Rivers for $6,500.
And your value pick?
How about Baker Mayfield against the fighting John Gruden's in Oakland? Baker's only $5,300. Mm-hmm. The Raiders defense gets no pressure on the quarterback at any time. I like Baker Mayfield. 10 days prepare, first career start, only $5,300. So if you want to go cheap on quarterback, go with C's guy, Baker Mayfield.
On Saturday, it's a college football doubleheader on Fox, starting in the Big Ten with number 14 Michigan taking on Northwestern, then number 11 Washington hosting 20th-ranked BYU. It all kicks off Saturday at 4 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. We are now going viral here on First Things First. Clay Matthews was once again flagged for roughing the passer after this hit on Alex Smith, making it 3 on the season. Clearly frustrated, of course, led to many fans being upset and one hilarious video of two fans showing the only way to tackle in the NFL.
This is the next move, Roger. Troy Vincent. This is it, man. This is the only way we're going to solve the problem.
Oh, wait, this is the best part.
No, this is what I don't know if the defensive people, if they have that bedside manner like my man, if they gonna place a kiss on you, but
wait, did you see that a flag was thrown?
They still threw a flag.
Oh, because the pillow wasn't enough inches. They prefer foam over feathers.
The memory foam.
There's the flag.
Oh my goodness.
That's awesome.
We got more on this later. Clay after the game was very good. His point after the game, which was, I guess I'm just gonna have to start attacking the football. That could be dangerous for a different reason, for the defense and for the quarterback. But
yeah, Clay's upset too, because he hadn't rushed a passer in like 3 or 4 years. He's like, dang, I'm starting to rush the passer. Now y'all saying I can't hit the guy. Yeah. I've been off like 2 or 3 years, so go after the football then, Clay.
Time now for stories to start your morning, and we start with a big one. Tiger Woods. That is the story right there. Tiger Woods won the Tour Championship this weekend, his first tournament win since 2013. Nick, I think I know, but what was your reaction to this?
I'm not ashamed to say it, man. I teared up watching him walk up on 18. He was emotional. This was for him to win this way, this tournament, after playing this much golf, the best 30 golf, best 30 man field theoretically that you can put together. It was great. It was. I really thought we'd never see it again, and we saw it again. I know it's more time later, but I it made me emotional.
Great weekend. One of the greatest golfers we've ever seen. Him and Jack Nicklaus. People want to argue. And he didn't think he was going to do this. Of everything that he's accomplished, this is the only thing that Tiger never saw himself doing. Visually, he saw himself winning the Masters as a kid. I've been there at the Masters when he's won the Masters. The emotion. This is one of the most monumental wins in Tiger's career because he did not think that he'd be playing competitive golf at this stage.
Again, we'll get into much more of this
so
in a little
wonderful.
Bit, but back to the NFL
you
now.
You gotta stop crying, though.
And some terrible
news. You've never seen
one. Don't tell anyone else that, though. We'll go and do it again. Don't tell people that.
49ers suffered a terrible injury. They fear Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL in the Niners' loss to the Chiefs over the weekend. That would mean C.J. Beathard would be the man in San Fran. See, how big a blow is this for Kyle Shanahan?
How big? I mean, forget about that he's losing the starting quarterback, but this is the guy we went out and traded. Man, Belichick gave somebody a good deal. That's what he gave Kyle Shanahan. Man, Kyle's done a great job with quarterbacks, but this is a blow to the franchise, what they're trying to do. Now, you're talking about a team that doesn't have a lot of weapons. Now they've lost Jimmy G. Man, this is going to be a long season for the 49ers. Like, I thought Jimmy G was going to come back to the pack a little bit. I thought he was going to regress a little bit.
But we thought he'd actually get to play.
Yeah, I can understand that. But now, what do they have next season? How good has Jimmy G been? Like, you got five-game sample over the last year and a half, 2 years. Now you start to question, well, I wonder how good he's going to be.
Well, and I apologize for interrupting you, but that's the point I was leading to. Jimmy Garoppolo has started 10 games since college. He came into the league in 2014. It's going to be 2019 till he plays again. And by the way, in two of those 10, he's gotten injured. Like, this is now enormous questions about the long-term health of the Niners franchise and how he comes back from this.
And younger quarterbacks, just realize this before the season starts. Be careful who you choose as a dinner partner. I think that's a little case of bad luck.
You mean that just cursed him out there. Moving on to the Bills.
That's more than a curse.
you know the Bills, the team most considered the worst in the NFL. Well, they shocked the Minnesota Vikings yesterday, winning 27-6. Josh Allen, the rookie, threw for 196 yards and scored three total touchdowns. Chris, how surprised were you by this result? You must have seen the score as you were calling the game.
Yeah, the Vikings didn't come ready to play. We see this every year in the NFL. Teams underestimate. This is not a pro football team. All of them are pro football teams. All of them have talent. With Shady McCoy out of lineup, them going to Minnesota. Yeah, I'm shocked by this development. You're talking about one of the best teams, which against a team that we thought was going to be potentially the worst team.
And it's not just that the Bills won. This game was over in the first quarter. They jumped out on them, and it was 24-0 before you could see the game on red zone a couple times.
The game wasn't over because they got Josh Allen and Peterman.
Okay.
They could throw them back into the game.
Right, but to Allen's credit, he didn't, and I agree with you entirely. The Vikings thought they had an early season bye week and came out as such. It's a great win for Buffalo.
Vikings thinking about Thursday night against the Rams here on Fox, looking ahead.
Yep.
Can't do that. So the Giants now, they got their first win of the year, beating the Texans 27-22. Eli Manning threw for nearly 300 yards and two touchdowns. Nick, how big of a win was this for New York?
I mean, it keeps their season alive. And Eli actually looked sharp. Odell was making plays. Saquon played well. Good ball distribution. And this game, by the way, 27-22, the Texans scored a touchdown with 1 second left. It wasn't even that close. The Giants were in full control of this game. It's an excellent win in a must-win game for the Giants.
It's good to see Eli. When Eli's playing at a high level, it gives the Giants an opportunity. They still got huge problems on the offensive line. But this is where I sensed with the league in desperation. Detroit, desperation. They get it pulled out. Buffalo, desperation. They pull out. Giants know the numbers. They know if they lose this game going 0-3, they're not going to make the playoff. Desperation in Texas, they bring home the win.
Absolutely. Arizona, desperation, and they had it till the very end.
All right, finally, John Gruden is quickly learning that 10 years away from the game is pretty significant. His Raiders gave up 2 fourth-quarter TDs in a loss to the Dolphins yesterday. Raiders have yet to win a game this year. All this combined with reports that Gruden caused rifts in the organization by hiring his own personal scouting staff. Things are getting testy in Oakland. Here's Gruden after the loss.
We have a lot of work to do here, and we're going to continue to work. I'm proud of the way we're competing. We played 3 teams, I think, that might be undefeated. I don't know. Played 3 good football teams, and we played them hard. But we got a lot of work to do here. We'll continue to work, and we'll get this show on the road here hopefully soon.
All right, see, what do you make of what's going on in Oakland and what John Gruden said?
Oh, not surprised. They have played 3 decent football teams. They have played 3 good first halves. John Gruden got the first half figured out. I don't care anything about the scouting and all that kind of stuff. It's what they do in the second half. They have not made the type of adjustments that pro teams to be able to win games make. Offense, very productive the first half in 3 games, not very productive in the second half of the game. So other teams are making adjustments. Also, this is not a real talented Raiders team. I believe they still have question marks on that offensive line. Defensively, what? Oh, they can't rush the passer. Oh, there's no need for us to go over that. And they don't have a good secondary. So it's hard to play good defense when you have those things going on defensively.
The numbers on C's point first half, second half are jarring. They've outscored their opponent 35-17 in the first half. They've been outscored 64-17 in the second half. So that means that's 6 quarters of football. They've given up 64 points. That's 42 a game on average.
And that's all because they're not making adjustments?
It's a whole host of things.
Every NFL team makes adjustments, but you only get credit when they work. No team goes into the locker room and say, let's just do what we did the first. Even the teams that are winning, they know that teams are going to adjust to them, so they make adjustments. Yeah. But it's a results-oriented business, and they're not getting them done in the second half.
And this was, they have just found different ways to lose football games. Week 1 against the Rams, they're up 3 at halftime. They get blanked in the second half, 23-0. Week 2, Derek Carr completes 90% of his passes. They still find a way to lose. This week, Miami's running trick plays. Albert Wilson's throwing touchdown passes. This was a game. Oakland's first possession drove right down the field and scored. Second possession gets the ball on their own 4-yard line, drives down the field to the mouth of the goal line, goes for a 4th down, doesn't get it. And from that moment forward, Miami totally dominated this football game. Now, I get Gruden's point. Oh, the teams that have played us, they're not 9-0, they're 8-1. Okay, but one of the reasons they're 8-1 is because they're 3-0 against you.
Right.
Those teams wouldn't look quite as good if they didn't have 3 wins against Oakland.
Yeah, the other part of the story is Miami is going to be a good football team. As you can see with Albert Wilson there, came from Kansas City, they got a lot of speed. Him, Grant, they don't even have potentially their best receiver, Devontae Parker. He hadn't even played yet.
Kenny Stills as well.
Yeah, so they have some weapons. Tannehill's back healthy. So I believe part of this story is, Gruden, lack of adjustments. But the other story is maybe Miami's a lot better than people think. I talked to Adam Gase this weekend. He's excited about what they can do. I did week 1. So it's exciting to see Miami surging in the AFC East.
Miami quietly undefeated in their last 10 games Ryan Tannehill has played.
That's great. All right, moving on to what was supposed to be a statement game for either the Cowboys or the Seahawks. Turned out Seattle made the statement, and it was, we win. Seattle gets his first win of the year behind 192 yards and 2 touchdowns from Russell Wilson, while Dallas continues to struggle. Dak throwing for less than 200 yards for the 9th time in 11 games, including 2 interceptions. All right, the Cowboys are now 1-2 on the year. Here's Dak after the game.
I've got to be more accurate. I've got to be more consistent in making throws. We've got to get open and go all the way across the board. We've just got to do better as a whole, as offense, but it starts with me.
I'm very confident as offense. We have talent everywhere. And as you see, when we execute, when we get rolling, we're hard to stop. So, we just got to put 4 quarters of football together and just be way better.
People was coming up to me and saying that a trade might happen. Even pregame, a couple of Cowboys coaches, I don't know if they're trying to play psychological game, but they're like, you ready to, you know, for the trade tomorrow? But at the end of the day, man, I had a great time with the guys that I've been practicing with, or haven't been practicing, but the guys I have been around, it was just fun out there.
Where's your mindset at right now? The game is over. You feel like now that was your last game as a Seahawks?
I don't know if it was, man. I had a damn good time. And I go out like that if I have to.
Played great yesterday. He really did.
Excellent.
All right, let's start with the Cowboys. What do they need to do to get back on track, and can they do those things, Chris?
Well, the Cowboys made a mistake, and it's really hard for people in life to admit that they made a mistake, especially people who are very, very successful and people that are rich. Jerry and them made a mistake cutting Dez Bryant. Like, Dez Bryant gives them some juice, gives them some energy. People talk about the sideline stuff. Man, that's part of doing business. Man, you need guys who can make plays with the football. The two best route runners, Tavon Austin and Cole Beasley, two small guys, undersized slot guys, you're not going to win many games. Their inability to be able to win on the outside with 7-8-man boxes, it will hurt them. So to me, when I watched the game last night, yes, I said it. Dez Bryant should be on the Cowboys. They made a huge mistake. And week in and week out, that's what I'm starting to see that comes out. No one's going to, would Dallas have a press conference today and say, yeah, you know something? Yeah, we did. They're going to keep saying, oh, I believe in my wide receivers. I believe in our skilled guys. But the truth of the matter is most of these guys are unproven. And the reason why they're unproven is because they're not that good. They don't have a number one, let alone a number two. They got five threes and fours. Yeah, playing in their position.
Absolutely right. And the guy who replaced Dez Bryant, in quotation marks, Allen Hurns, has been nowhere to be found this year. He's only been targeted 9 times. He has 4 catches for 51 yards on the year, which makes the Dez Bryant, now in hindsight, removal all the more jarring because they didn't save any money. Dez is dead money plus Hurns' cap hit equals what it would have cost to keep Dez without a pay reduction, which, by the way, again, they didn't even offer to him. Like, this is, I know sometimes you get frustrated because we talk so much about quarterbacks and football so much more than just quarterbacks. But given the Cowboys' total lack of production from their passing game, which is the biggest reason they've struggled this year, Dak Prescott's going to be the center of the discussion this week and this year for the Cowboys, and rightfully so. Dak in the first quarter yesterday was 2 of 6 for 4 yards and a pick. In the first half, he had 40 yards. They are still sitting on 1 passing play of greater than 20 yards all year long. You said it, Jenna. 9 out of 11 games under 200 yards passing, including 5 consecutive games. In his last 5 games, he has 3 touchdowns, 4 picks, a 71 rating, and hasn't had 195 yards passing. Like, Dak has regressed to, I mean, he's unrecognizable to where he was his rookie year to me.
We talked all week, C, that even though it's not the sexy thing, this defense is going to have to carry this team if they want to go anywhere, or at least until they can get things right on offense. What did you see from their defense yesterday?
Even if you have a good defense, if they give up 20, 24 points, a lot of times you still got a chance to win the game. You're in the game. If this is the worst their defense is going to play, they're going to be real, real good. But the team is not playing together. They don't get any big plays out of their special teams, all right? They got rid of their kicker, one of the best ever in the history of the game. So the units that they have, they don't play in sync. Listen, if I don't have wideouts, I'm going down with Zeke. Zeke got to touch the ball 30 times.
It's like, unbelievable.
You're not going to trick someone and everything. Like, I'm going to give it to him 20 times. I'm going to throw it to him 10 more times. Like, that's the way the Cowboys should go down fighting. But the inability for them to be in sync, the defense, it's the best unit that they have. But when you turn the ball over, and I don't believe those turnovers are Dak's fault, when you look at the throws, where the ball to the tight end was a little bit high. But if you tip the ball up as a wide receiver, bad things are going to happen. The other one was a deflection that Earl picks off both of them. So I'm not going to blame the quarterback in everything that they're doing, but the overall results, the lack of being able to threaten people on the outside affects how the quarterback plays.
That second pick, I wouldn't blame Dak at all. That first one, one of the reasons it was deflected is because Bobby Wagner comes over and hits it. But regardless of that part of it, the point on Zeke cannot be understated. Zeke had 127 yards yesterday on 16 carries. I understand they're trailing. I understand typically when you're trailing, you have a hard time throwing the running the football. But if that's the only, you're averaging 8 yards per run with Zeke. Zeke this season, 15, 17, 16. Those are his carries. That's indefensible. He is not only your best player, he's your best player by an enormous margin. And of the players who touch the football, he's not only your best player, he's right now your only player that touches the ball that is anywhere close to league average. And he's elite for the league. How Zeke has 16 carries in this football game, he had the one catch that he stepped out of bounds that could have been one big play in the passing game where a touchdown got taken off the board because he stepped out of bounds. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like, if you're going at this point, if you're going to, Jenna, look at these rankings. 31st, 30th, 31st, 31st. Those are the Cowboys' rankings in major offensive categories. If you're going to be a bottom three offense, do it going down with your best guy. Do it because we gave the ball to Zeke 30 times and they stopped us. Like,
not 14, 15, and 16.
He's averaging 16 carries a game this year.
Yeah, the reason why he didn't get the ball in this game is they just weren't good on third down. Had 13 attempts, only got three of those. So it's going to cut into the reps. Sure. Of your number one player. So when you don't convert, you don't keep the momentum, you don't keep those drives going, it takes off. Your best players, if they're wide receivers and running backs, those plays and drives not being able to continue, it affects their numbers.
All right, Seattle beating up on Dallas. Seattle gets their first win of the year. Coming up.
Another desperate team.
That's it. You're right. Coming up, can Patrick Mahomes continue his record-breaking success this season? Somebody here was very excited
this
weekend.
Chiefs ain't desperate.
Next on First Things First. Back here at First Things First, former NFL head coach Eric Mangini. Hey, coach.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Great.
Nick's very excited about this segment.
I'm just excited coach is here. I don't even know what we're talking about here. I'm just glad coach is here.
He doesn't know what we're talking about.
I have no idea.
Between the two of you.
I don't even know what we're
doing. He got
here
an hour early to the morning meeting just because he was. All right, let's talk some Patty Mahomes. Here we go. He was effortlessly and quietly. He put together one of the best starts for any rookie quarterback in the history of the NFL. Chiefs beat the 49ers 38-27. Mahomes threw three touchdown passes. He now holds the record for touchdown passes in the first 3 weeks of the season with 13. And they've gone to 9 different receivers. The Chiefs are now 3-0 in the young season. Here is Patrick Mahomes after the game.
I mean, defenses in this league are good. Defense coordinators are going to try to find ways to distract us and keep us from doing what we do. But I know that is if we run the game plan the right way and I get the ball to my hands and to those guys, that there's a chance there will be a lot of success.
All right, Coach. There's something to be said for getting out to a fast start and defenses not knowing exactly how to game plan for you. But this kid's an impressive kid. This is a great start for him.
It has been very impressive. And the most impressive thing to me is the no interceptions. I thought that there would, with the high number of touchdowns, there'd be at least 2 or 3 interceptions because he is going to take some chances that other guys may not take. And you saw it with the play where he ran around and then threw it downfield. And look, that's working really well now, but it's not typically high percentage football. So we'll have to see how this goes as we continue to move on. I know that Nick was home and high-fiving everybody he knew in his Kansas City pajamas and the whole day. But if you look back at what happened last year, the first 5 games, they were 5-0. 2 out of those 5 games, they scored 42 points. The offense was high-powered. It wasn't this high-powered or it didn't have quite this success rate, but there was a substantial number of explosive plays and points last year. After that 5 games, things went a little bit differently. The other thing this year is Kareem Hunt down significantly. He's at 3.2 yards a carry. Last year, he was at 4.9 yards a carry. Got to just slow down a little bit before we put Patrick in the Hall of Fame.
But that's a straw man. No one's putting him in the Hall of Fame, Coach. But if you're going to say last year they had this start. And Alex Smith's career with the Kansas City Chiefs, games where the Chiefs allowed 24 or more points, they were 1-11. They're now 4-0 if you include week 17 of last year with Pat Mahomes in games where they allow 24 or more points. If we're going to talk about history, we can talk about the fact that There's three teams in NFL history that have scored 38 or more in each of the first 3 weeks. The 67 Baltimore Colts, the 07 undefeated Pats, and this year's Kansas City Chiefs. We could set Pat Mahomes and what his trajectory after this season is aside. In the here and now, the Chiefs have an offense very similar to the 2016 Atlanta Falcons, which is so deadly because you don't know where they're going with the football. You mentioned on the broadcast with the Falcons yesterday, see, that they had an NFL record 13 touchdown passes to different guys in 2016. The Chiefs are at 9 already through three games. On that first drive, 6 different guys touched the football. So if you add to it a very precise, strong-armed quarterback with the best, in my opinion, weapons in football, there, I don't see a reason to believe that this offense isn't sustainable at a high level. Not 40 points a game sustainable, but 30-plus points a game.
The first thing is, we've never seen this guy do it. So talking about what he can do into the future, just be careful. Like, we've seen this kind of movie before. Do they have great personnel? Yes, they do. Do they have one of the best play callers and managers of offenses in pro football history in Andy Reid? Yes. But if you want to talk about some NFL numbers, what I believe is going to hurt them is that defense. In the first two games, over 1,000 yards offense against the Chiefs defense. Almost 400 in this game with Jimmy G being out of the game. So that part right there, I know we can predict that. I don't think they're going to get their defense fixed. As far as what their offense is going to do, what he's been able to benefit from is because they have such strong personnel, and they have the second best tight end in the league in Kelce. They have a combination of wide receivers and skilled guys that I believe is the best. But we don't know. What is Pat Mahomes going to do when he faces adversity? What is he going to face when we get halfway through the season? Maybe he's not as mobile because the wear and tear of every quarterback, and this is his first time around the league as a starter. All those things we don't know, but we do know every quarterback that's got off to a fast start like this, there's a correction coming to him. Can they be successful because of Andy Reid, because of their weapons? Yes, but we're still in the first month of the season. I'm not going to get too overblown about it because I've seen this type of action before. I don't like to get ahead of stuff. Like, so what if someone predicts, hey, man, this guy is going to be the next whatever great quarterback. I'm just going to be slow to the party because I've seen these type of parties get off to a start. Everyone's drinking. Next thing you know, they cut off the music, shut it down. It's time to go home. So that's what I have to go on. It's very, very exciting. I'm concerned about their defense. I'm concerned about if teams get into ball control and what's he do when he faces adversity? Because we've seen the other greats, they do respond. It's something we do. I can't say that he is going to respond well, but I'm not going to say that he's not going to respond in a negative way either, Coach.
And the other thing is we've seen guys explode onto the scene. We saw Deshaun Watson explode onto the scene. You see Jimmy Garoppolo, he wins his first 5 games. You see these guys, and then suddenly it's this is how it's going to be over the long term, and it's hard to say that. The other part of this is Kansas City's track record at the start of the season has historically been very good and explosive offensively. They scored 42 points in 2 out of their first 5 games last year. So yes, it's hard to say this is the only reason that it's happening. I love the fact that he hasn't thrown an interception. I thought that we'd get one or two of those. And Chris makes a great point. When the games are tight, when things start to constrict, will he be able to perform that same level? And we really have not seen that to this point.
No, you haven't seen it because they're up 49-6 after the first quarter of the first 3 games combined. Like, you haven't seen it because they've been so potent in the first quarter. But I really feel like you guys are arguing against a point I haven't made. Who's putting him in the Hall of Fame? Who is saying that this is going to continue? If it continues, he would have 70 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. No one is saying it is going to continue. The question is, and much like with Deshaun Watson, when the regression hits, how much will it hit? Of course it's not going to be 4 touchdowns a game, no picks, and the Chiefs are blowing everyone out. We all know that. But the my frustration is, has nothing to do with the fact that I'm from Kansas City. If these first 3 games are not enough to make you say, wow, this might be a very special player, then what you're saying is there is no 3 games that could ever tell you that. Because it's the best three games to start a career, essentially a season, any quarterback's ever had.
Yeah, Nick, it's our responsibility, all right? I've been associated with the league almost four decades. I've seen people be successful. What's the normal way to predict future? It's what happened in the past. I don't like to get ahead of it. I don't have to do that. I'm not some expert to think, oh, man, I can see how this is going to end. No, they're off to a good start. He's got good arm talent. Will he start making mistakes? Will he do the things that young quarterbacks do? Of course he will.
Of course. And no,
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the audience. You act as if I'm trying to prove a point to you. It's got nothing to do with you. People should look at it with the perspective of this is a small sample size. Regardless of how you look at it, that's how I'm going to look at it, and that's how I'm going to explain it to football fans. This is still a very, very young quarterback. How does he respond to adversity? How does he respond when the games are tighter? In 1998, even with Randall Cunningham as a veteran quarterback, people question, well, what would they do when it gets tight? Well, what about when the defense goes bad? So we've been doing this for years, and we're going to continue to do it. Patty Mahomes, whoever the next great one is, because that's our responsibility as people that have saw the game and seen people struggle at the position that is the hardest in all of sports.
And just to answer your question, there is no three games that is definitive enough. We saw Nick Foles played a really good set of three games, and you, with your mathematical background, the sample size is way too small to say that this is anything that you could project out at this point.
But last year when the Chiefs were playing really well, you said, I sat right next to you and you said, yeah, but wait till January comes. And you're not saying this year. And there's a different level of optimism for this team.
There's an optimism about what I think. I think they have a franchise quarterback for the first time in 30 years in the team.
Yeah, that's great news.
I totally agree about the defense. You haven't heard me sit here and say the Chiefs are going to make the Super Bowl because everything you're saying about the defense is accurate.
Right.
But I think they have a franchise quarterback for the first time since Lynn Dawson. And that's notable for this franchise.
All right, got to take a break. Coach, stick around. Coming up, what went
wrong?
Audience,
Google Lynn Dawson. I know y'all don't know who the heck is that.
For the Patriots last night.
Yeah, look at it.
We'll talk Patriots next on First Things First. Hey, show of hands here on the desk. Who had the Patriots as their lock of the week over the Lions? Because everyone with your hands up, tough weekend. Lions were fierce last night. Tom Brady was not. Threw for just 133 yards with a touchdown and an interception as the Patriots lost. So the Pats start the year 1-2 for the first time since 2012. For context, if that's what you're looking for, the Browns currently have a better record than the New England Patriots. Coach, what happened to New England in their 26-10 loss to the Detroit Lions yesterday?
The biggest issue is a third down issue, and they've struggled with third down throughout the course of the season, both offensively and defensively, and you saw the lopsided time of possession, and that's going to happen when you've got those problems. When you're converting at a rate of about 25% and they're converting at a rate of 50%, it's hard to be consistently productive, and not having an inside slot receiver that Tom can go to on a consistent basis. He's typically had, you know, take your pick of the slot receivers mm-hmm. over the year, and then a guy like Gronkowski. And so you've got
some really good slot receivers.
Really good slot receivers, and you've got that pressure internally where they've got to deal with the tight end, they've got to deal with the slot receiver, and that does open some things outside. I think that's the biggest issue. Now, defensively, they're trying to find their way, and when you change over a coordinator, and then they're trying to figure out who's leading that group now. I know they've identified one person that's doing it, but it seems to me like it's not very cohesive at this point in terms of identifying who they want to be defensively, who they need to be defensively.
And the defense issue is something that I don't want to overreact to because I made that mistake last year in the beginning of the year. I thought their defense was not salvageable, and by the end of the year, it absolutely was more than salvageable. By the end of the year, while they were still giving up a ton of yards, as you always point out, they don't really care so much about that. They care about the points per game given up. By December, they were once again top eight in the league over the second half of the season in that category. Didn't really bite them until the Super Bowl, really, that defense. The offense, to me, is a different story because I'm not familiar with the Patriots losing games this way. where Jacksonville jumps out all over them, 24-3. Belichick harps all week long, got to get out to a better start, said it in his press conference, his radio interview, his next press conference. That's what they were worried about. And they're down 13-0 to start this game. You're right that they really missed Julian Edelman, but the problems seem to run deeper than one player that's Julian Edelman can fix. As far as the other team's ability right now is they're doubling Gronk and basically saying, we will not let Rob Gronkowski beat us. We will sacrifice a man of coverage to double Gronk and see who else can beat us. And yesterday they only have active three wide receivers. Dorsett, as you mentioned, gets dinged during the game. If James White doesn't have a big game or Gronk can't beat double coverage, they're struggling to move the football.
Yeah, I think they'll get so much better in the next couple weeks when they get Edelman back. So much of their passing attack are those short passes and yards after the catch. None of the wide receivers that they have proven in the NFL that they're good after the catch. All right? Hogan is not good after the catch. Cordell Patterson has never been a regular wide receiver good after the catch. Philip Dorsett, even with his blazing speed and a returner, he hasn't been good in pro football after the catch. So they love guys that are great after the catch, and they prefer to throw the ball in the middle of the field or on the seam patterns that they're going to throw it deep. They don't want to throw the ball outside if they don't have to. And when you don't have a slot receiver, they're double-teaming Gronk. They're forcing the ball outside to these guys who aren't one and two receivers, meaning they aren't a number one or number two. They are threes, fours, and fives. And you trying to make these guys play a leading role, that's what's going to hurt them. Also, in them drafting Sony Michel, he's a little behind as a rookie in the passing game. They tried to give him some attempts, so the combination of him and James White coming out of the backfield is not as good as we've seen Brady. That's why you saw the only 14 completions. If you have 14 completions and it's not Mother Nature related, meaning inclement weather,
right, bad wind,
like it's going to be hard to win a football game. And this was indoors. And you have perfect conditions, only 14 completions. There's no way I thought that you could, when you look at the stat sheet, that Brady can ever win a game like that.
And the other value of that slot receiver is their ability, and this is something they've done for years, is that these read routes where if the guy's playing you inside, you can break outside. If the guy's playing outside,
defense,
you can break
can't win.
Inside, you can't win. No matter where you are, they're going to run away from that coverage. But you need a specific type of guy with really good short area quickness and also a guy that understands how those zones fit or how those man coverages work. And they don't have that right
those
now.
Those three guys you're talking about that Tom has gotten used to, Troy Brown, Wes Welker, and Edelman.
Yep.
All these guys. You're talking about over 500 catches. All of them will be very, very effective and all very smart football players.
I know this won't solve anything, but will it help when the Patriots get Josh Gordon up and running? Were you surprised he was inactive yesterday?
No, I wasn't surprised. If the player doesn't know what to do, Tom's not going to throw to him anyways. You can put him out in the field, and he could play 100 plays, and Tom will not throw him the ball if he doesn't believe that he's going to be in the right spot. And it again, not knowing Josh Gordon, but he doesn't have a ton of experience in the league. We don't know how quick of a learner he is, so it's probably better to give him a week to try to get up to
speed. But
even
at the risk of only having three receivers active.
32 teams in the league. If I'm going from one team to another team, the Patriots are the number one team as an offensive player I would not want to go to if you thought he needs to play in a week or two. It's one of the most complicated systems. It has the most depth. All right, and with because of how long the people have been there. Not only their quarterback, Bill, and Josh McDaniel. We just can't think. This is not a nursery rhyme. This is New England football. And if they won all these Super Bowls and been effective for that, it's because the complication, and it's not simple. We shouldn't be expecting Josh Gordon to come out there and run out there and be some knight in shining armor on a white horse and be able to save the Patriots. No, it's far more complicated than that.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.